This week, I'm talking to Julian Bird, the chief executive of the Society of London Theatre, about the musicals and the opera nominations for the Olivier Awards. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre podcast. In the studio with me is Julian Bird, the chief executive of the Society of London Theatre, and we are building up to the big day, which is April the 7th and the Olivier Awards. We're going to do two podcasts about this because there's just so much to cover. But this, our first one, we're going to concentrate, Julian, I hope you are concentrating, on musicals and on opera.
Absolutely.
So, well, there have been some great new musicals coming up this year. I've seen a lot of them and I've had just the best year going to the theatre, actually. It's been fantastic. I think, as new musicals go, Come From Away is very special. Do you want to explain what the basis of it is?
Yes, I agree with you. Come From Away. So this is a show that started in Canada. People realise why in a minute, and then went to America and is now here. So Come From Away, some might kind of listen to this and think, oh, how on earth does that make a musical? But it's about a very small community called Gander in Newfoundland. On 9/11, of course, there were lots of planes in the air which couldn't land anywhere in America. And I think 35 or 36 planes were diverted to land in this very, very tiny town. I mean, tiny, tiny town.
Where they all speak with bizarrely Irish accents.
Yes, indeed. They have
Irish
a very, very particular
accent.
Yeah.
Yes.
And amazingly, because it's been used for freight and other things up there, it has this incredibly long runway. So jumbos, jets and everything could land. So I think 35, 36, you know, enormous planes landed there. And it's really about how all these people came from far away to this tiny town and their impact on the town.
And they were stuck there, basically.
And they were stuck there for
4 days with no supplies.
Absolutely.
And they didn't have any, you know, whatever they needed.
And it's sort of how the town rallied together to support them, to feed them, to house them, and the relationships that developed between all those people. And it's incredibly moving, incredibly touching, I have to say.
And it's really uplifting. That's what I love.
It's very uplifting.
Is that you leave the theatre feeling, for once, actually positive about people and the world. And
you really do. And actually, and I said that's despite me trying to explain what it's about, because actually it is one of the most uplifting evenings you'll ever have. And about how humans, you know, in adversity kind of come together, and maybe we don't see that enough these days, but it's really how people bond together and help each other. And you know, it's quite extraordinary. It's of quite a small cast. They all play multiple roles.
Yes, they play the passengers and they pay the people from...
Yeah, including the airline pilot who lands and all sorts. And so, you know, between them, they play, you know, multiple characters each. It's incredibly brilliantly done. Tables, chairs, live on-stage band. It's a brilliant piece of theatre. 100 minutes straight through, so it keeps that sort of tension up, if you like, the whole way through.
We really remarkable. It as like getting on a train, and once you're on it, it doesn't stop.
And you sort of don't want it to. It's sort of one of those shows where
drives through.
Where had there been an
interval,
it would have dissipated, and it just keeps going.
And that's had a lot of nominations, including Best New Musical, but also some of the cast nominated for their individual performances.
Absolutely, yes. It's a, you know, really, really amazing. Clive Carter's been nominated. Yeah. One of the roles he plays in it is the mayor of Gander.
Yes. And Robert Hands,
who's one of the love interests in it, without going too much away, and one of his roles. Rachel Tucker, the wonderful Rachel Tucker,
who
plays, amongst other things, the pilot, landed the American Airlines.
Yeah.
Pilot. It's really, and a lot of the creatives, including Christopher Ashley, the director, are nominated. It's a really fantastic piece of theatre.
And it's already going on all over the world, I think. There's New York production.
It is. Australia's just opened. New York is great. It's back in Canada. And it really is. It's heartwarming, but sort of has something to say about all of us as human beings a little bit. It's a great show.
Also, we have Tina, the Tina Turner musical, which is one of those biopics. Yes. What I liked about that was that although there are lots of songs of Tina Turner, they do ask you, they say, don't clap or sing along until the end, and there will be a chance to do that then, which, thank goodness, because I'm not a fan of those ones where everyone's just singing along and clapping. It's like a concert. This isn't like a concert. It's a proper
Absolutely.
Piece. And Adrian Warren, who plays Tina Turner, I think just has the most tremendous growth of character throughout the piece. She starts as a very young Tina. She doesn't really sound like the Tina Turner that we know or we associate that voice with.
Correct, yeah.
And then she grows in and you sort of hear it coming through and you think, oh, I see, she's getting more and more like Tina, older Tina. And by the end, she is completely her. She's also oozes charm and charisma. Mm. I think
it's a magnetic leading performance. She's rightly nominated for it. And as you said, you know, the show, the interesting thing with Tina Turner, you know, and there's lots of biopics, aren't there, both in theatre and film, you know, that she has a really interesting story, actually. Mm. And the musical doesn't shy away from some of the more difficult parts of her life. And, you know, people will remember the movie with, you know, her and Ike, who was her husband, and their difficult relationship. And, you know, the musical doesn't shy away from that, I think, rightly. And so it's a pretty gripping night. And as you said, with some songs that you'll remember and some you don't remember, but the second they start, you go, oh, I remember that song. You know, as you rightly say, at the centre of it, Adrian Warren, who gives a fantastic performance. But also, you know, Cobner is nominated as well for his role as Ike Turner in it as well. So.
And then in the revivals, we've got Caroline or Change. Then two revivals that I would say are as opposite as you could get with revivals, because we've got Company, which takes a completely different twist on the original Company.
On the famous Stephen Sondheim musical and has retwisted it to make a female the central character rather than a man.
Yeah,
that's right.
And two men who have a relationship.
Yes,
they've
taken all the relationships in it and twisted them around.
And I think it works absolutely perfectly. There's no jarring of that whatsoever. It feels completely natural that two men should be singing about getting married. Of course,
they would be. Fantastic night in the theatre. You know, Rosalie Craig playing that central character, but, you know, with Patti LuPone, famous in the theatre world, you know, particularly in America.
Who brings the house down.
But also, you know, two of the young guys in it, you know, Richard Fleischman, who lots of people will know, and Johnny Bailey, who has done a lot here on Magic and people will know from his various television roles, both nominated for their roles as well. I mean, it's
a great...
I think
my favourite moment is Jonathan Bailey jumping into a fridge.
Exactly.
Possibly. Yes. You have to
see it. In a song called
really
Not Getting Married Today, which you sort of need to understand.
Yes, which
it's about his sort of neuroses because he's about to get married. Yes. That's basically...
But he does actually jump into a fridge, and you need to see it really to believe how that happens.
Yep.
But it happens before you notice it.
March the 30th it finishes, so you've only got a few days left to go and see it in London.
Absolutely stunning. And the other revival would class as complete opposite for that, because it's a very, very traditional revival of The King and I.
Yes.
In its most sort of purest form, really.
You know, one of those extraordinary Rodgers and Hammerstein wonderful scores, and done in the most stellar production with Kelly O'Hara, her first major role here in the UK. You know,
she's huge in America,
big Tony winner in America, sells out wherever she goes all over the States when she's in concert, and did her first run here
opens her mouth and the song comes out and it's like completely
and
effortless.
Ken Watanabe, of course, playing the King, who people will know from Last Samurai and other movies, you know. So, I mean, the most glorious, as you said, sort of traditional production. I mean, the one new musical we didn't talk about is many others, you know, Fun Homes Close. Lovely to see that nominated, but, you know, it's Six, you know, this extraordinary little musical with the six being the six wives of Henry VIII.
And all of them are nominated together. You've got one of these group ones
one of these
again.
Group
all
ones,
of these,
yep.
All of them in Six are nominated as Best Supporting Actress.
Correct, yeah.
In a musical.
In a musical, which is fantastic to see. And they're all those six are at the start of their careers. And much excitement.
Up against Patti LuPone.
Yes,
Rachel
so let's
Tucker
see.
From Come From Away.
Yes.
And Ruthie Ann Miles as Lady Thiang in The King and I.
Correct, yeah.
So,
Well,
that's open. We don't know who's going to win.
I definitely wouldn't want
to
call that category, I have to say. No.
No.
And I think we've talked about the supporting in a musical, Johnny Bailey and Robert Hands and Clive Carter and Richard Fleischman. Once again, very open, I think.
So, And now, actor in a musical, because we've got Ken Watanabe in The King and I.
Yes.
Mark Antolin, I was really pleased to see this as Seymour in Little Shop of Horrors at Regent's
really
Park.
Really pleased. In fact, I think we were there together, weren't we?
Oh, I think we were. What an outrageous night that was.
And it was great. One of those great summer evenings in Regent's Park. And, I mean, you know, it's a shame, I guess, Little Shop didn't come through a bit more strongly in some of the other categories. But Mark, great performance, I think. Once again, you know, young musical theatre actor. Nice to see a new name kind of breaking through there, I think.
He was one of those performances that as soon as he started singing, I just thought, that is the perfect voice for musical theatre. That's the perfect Seymour.
Yeah.
And he was the perfect Seymour, and it was a wonderful production.
And he's very excited about being nominated. Yeah. So it's lovely. It's been lovely, yes. And bringing up that one is, you know, Zubin Vala, we haven't mentioned, who played the father in Fun Home. The young Vic, but a really interesting list of four. Once again, I'm not sure I'd want to.
No, well, you wouldn't want to call it, would you? No. You wouldn't want to call the best actress either, because you've got Sharon D. Clarke from Caroline or Change, Rosalie Craig, Kelly O'Hara, and Adrian Warren. I wouldn't want to.
Impossible.
Can you not have more than one award, Julian? Could you not?
Unfortunately, not. You know, it's awful, isn't it? And that is, unfortunately, that is the nature of award shows. You know, there are winners in categories, and. That's the nature of it, I guess. But that one in particular, there are several categories which are so impossible to call, I think. And depending on who you talk to, different people have different opinions. And I think Best Actress in a Musical is one of those.
Yes. I think we should have more than one prize. I don't like to see people going away as losers. They're not losers, of course, because they've been nominated. Nobody can be a loser. Now, we have to come with opera, which is, you know, slightly goes over, well... I'm not an expert, Julian, on opera.
Very few people are, I think.
As soon as it gets classical, I'm just not very well informed about it. But the Royal Opera House is up for two of the awards for Best New Opera.
Absolutely.
And then Regent's Park Open Air Theatre for The Turn of the Screw.
So people may not realise, but English National Opera and the Open Air Theatre at Regent's Park have started collaborating on a summer opera.
I didn't know that.
And this was the first one, Turn of the Screw. This summer coming, they're going to be doing Hansel and Gretel as a co-production again. So their first effort, if you like, Turn of the Screw, is nominated against those two opera house productions.
So where do they do that in the season at Regent's Park?
I think it's the second or third in the season, okay. I think, yes.
But they're still going to be doing their big musical every year.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yes.
This
runs
in
for 2 or 3 weeks. Kind of great to see kind of opera taken into a different space, different audience. Was a big success last summer, and lovely to see it nominated here. And I guess the other big thing, you know, is Porgy and Bess, you know, at the Coliseum, wonderful
new production.
The ensemble
are nominated.
Yeah, and the panel felt very strongly that, you know, it was that ensemble that kind of made that revival, if you like, so exciting, and wanted to give them kudos for that. So that's why they're nominated there in Outstanding Achievement, alongside lots of many other amazing people. So
I wonder, will they all be there, do you think? The whole
I'm not
ensemble.
Sure the entire ensemble
they'll
will be.
They'll fill up most
they might fill up most of the hall.
I'm
not sure they're all coming, no.
They
but,
will.
Some of them will be there, which will be great. So,
and then, of course, as we say, the good things get nominated for directors and set design and all those things as well. I mean, I think particularly Marianne Elliott for Company, because that, and I went on the first night, and it was, you know, when some things are ready and some things you think, oh, they could do with a week or so more. This was ready.
Absolutely.
Like you've never seen anything so ready. It was so slick.
Absolutely. So people would know Marianne Elliott, we should say, from War Horse, Curious Instant of the Dog in the Nighttime. And last year, Angels in America. And, you know, she had this real concept for Company and persuaded Stephen Sondheim that it was okay to rewrite it and have a female as the central character and rework all the other relationships then around that central character, and had a real concept for it. You know, I guess if directing a revival is about anything, it's about what's your vision for doing something with that show. And there's no doubt that she had a very clear vision and a clear idea about what she wanted to achieve, I guess.
And she battled for it, I think. I don't think it was the easiest thing.
I believe so. That's right.
He took a little bit of persuading.
Yeah. And how, and you know, I'm not surprised at all to see her actually nominated here.
Yes. Costume design is, we've got Catherine Zuber for The King and I, which were the very traditional, the beautiful,
most beautiful
dresses and things that she wore.
And I think sometimes people think that's incredibly easy to do, you know, just because it's, you know, the traditional, but actually to do it in such extraordinary splendour and design, I thought, you know, it really brought that production to life.
Tell us some more about Six, which is the Six Wives of Henry VIII. This is Best New Musical.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's very short, isn't it?
An hour and a quarter, and it's basically the six wives of Henry VIII all sort of trying to put themselves forward as the most important of the six wives.
They're all alive at the same time.
Yes, they're all, yes. I mean, it's a conceit, they haven't been
Do we have beheadings on the stage?
No. Well, the opening song is called Divorce, Beheaded, Die, Divorce, Beheaded, Survived. I mean, that's the nature of which, even I remember that little rhyme from my history lessons at school.
And you remember which wife came in which order?
I know a bit more having seen the show, actually. It was rather educational in a good way. it's a great fun show. And I think the clever thing the writers have been able to do and the orchestrators and everyone else is give each six a very separate identity on stage. So they all sing in a slightly different style with a different style of music. They have their own individual look, which is all down to, you know, costume and makeup and hair and everything. So they've really done that to really give them distinct identities. And it really, really works.
And is there really a particular song that stands out?
They all have, obviously, they're all sort of putting themselves forward as why they are the most important of the wives. So they all have their own individual moments. And then they have a couple of huge kind of numbers as the six altogether, let's see. We're expecting them to be performing on the night, the Oliviers, so people might enjoy seeing the six of them together on the night. There's some great numbers in it. It's really, really good.
Because I don't know if we've had a number, a particular song from a new musical that's broken through, because a lot of these like Come From Away, it's music all the way through nearly. I mean, there's hardly any speaking, and the music is great, but there isn't the pilot sings one song,
but
you don't go away humming the tunes.
No, and I think you know, there was a time, wasn't there, when Andrew Lloyd Webber and people were writing, or Elton John were writing those big shows, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And of course it was a different time in the charts in music, where, you know, they often released a single before
the
musical.
Well, before the show was out, so you knew the songs before you went to see it.
Exactly. Mm. That's less done now. But of course, you know, not eligible this year because it opened too late is the musical Waitress with Catherine McPhee.
And that does
which
have a number,
has an extraordinary 11 o'clock number. The music is written by a lady called Sarah Bareilles, who is known here, but less known, but bigger in America, who writes, you know, kind of those 3-4 minute songs. And there is an outstanding song, which I think will become a real standard here from that. That show.
I think we'll be hearing that at next year's awards ceremony.
Maybe,
yes.
I would guess. But I think, you know, those days, I mean, you know, but then the soundtrack of Dear Evan Hansen, which also comes into the West End later in the year, that's getting a lot of traction with one or two of the songs there, Waving Through a Window in particular, as a standout song on its own.
Do you think there's more chance of winning if your production opened more recently rather than earlier in the year,
I think there's no indication here that happens one way or the other, I have to say. I mean, you know, if I look down these, Fun Home 6 and Teen all opened last year in 2018, Come From Away open just on the cutoff. So I don't really think that's the case. The same with the revivals, you know, Company is running now, but opened before Christmas. King and I was last summer at the Palladium.
Yes, and
you know,
it's gone.
I don't think there's any indication of that, no.
Well, we will find out on April the 7th.
We will.
We will be broadcasting the Oliviers live on Magic Radio. I will be down in the basement at the Albert Hall. You'll be upstairs in your dicky bow, being all smart and terribly important,
having
Julian
to speak on stage and, yes, all that kind of thing.
And
yes.
I will be eating sweets down in the basement, trying to soaking up the atmosphere from my basement with Ruthie Henschel. We'll soak
Absolutely.
It up together, eat sweets together, and tell everybody what's going on. And I think we are the only place that you can hear it live.
Correct, in the UK.
Magic.
Yep, that's
so,
right, yep.
Yeah, you heard it here first. Genuinely, you will hear it.
You will hear it here first.
You will hear it here first.
Absolutely.
You can hear it, and then you can watch bits on the telly later if you want to.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to be talking about the straight plays, as I call them, but some of them are comedies, the ones without songs, and dance. Julian, thank you so much for
coming to
talk. Thank you for listening to the Magic Musicals and Theatre podcast. That was Julian Bird giving us some insights on the musicals and the opera awards forthcoming at the Olivier Awards, which are on April the 7th. And if you enjoyed listening, well, go to the website and rate us. Thank you.